Okay, in the Maamar Hasheni, we are up to Ois Zion. The Midas Hashem have been discussed. Omar Akuzari, Kvaris Barli Said Hamidais. You've explained to me the secret of the different Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In this Galgeali Havanas Inyan Kavod Hashem, Malachais Hashem, Malachim it means here, Malachais Hashem, Veshchina. It's interesting, we didn't really speak specifically about the word Shchina. He's grouping the word Shchina with everything else, and saying that Shchina also is a expression of something that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'shem Shemais Neiflim Al Devarim Niroim, and these are Shemais Neiflim, these are synonymous words, for Devarim Niroim Eitzel Nevi'im. For things that appear to the Nevi'im, the Mefarshim at the bottom say Nevi'im is Lav Davka. K'may Shenemar Amur Anon Eishecheles Av Arafel Eish V'noiga. Now what he's saying here is that these are words that are expressions, physical expressions, of somebody who feels HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Now, there happens to be a intense disagreement between the Rambam and the Ramban regarding the word Shechina, how the word Shechina should be expressed. If Shechina is, as it says here, just another word that talks about, like Malach, that talks about certain impressions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, or not. We say Baruch Kavod Hashem Mekayimai, Rich Yikara the Hashem Ma'asar Be Shechinte. Rambam brings a raya that Shechina means something else. Shechina, the word Shechain, is to dwell. The Ramban argues that Shechina refers to the presence, to the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means, but it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. When we say the Shechina is there, it means the essence of Hashem. And when we say Malachim, it means some expression of feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather than Hashem himself. That's a very hard thing, because the word Shechina is really used many different ways. We say 10 people sit and learn together, Shechina Shuri B'nayim. 5 people, Shechina Shuri B'nayim. What?
It can be both ways.
So it means the word has no precise meaning.
If there's 10 people together, so, or you could say it's the form of Hashem,
you could do it both ways, especially if you do both.
What?
You could do one or the other, you could do one and the other. I'm saying then that the word Shechina is a word that's used both ways. It's not, so it's a hard thing to define the idea of Shechina, my Shechina going. In Chumash it says that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said after the Egel that I'll send my Malach to go among you. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, I don't want your Malach, I want you. No. By a physical king, I understand you want the king to go with you and not the Malach. What does it mean when you're talking about God himself? You know, if God is present everywhere, then what does it mean? That's the Ramban's difficulty that the Ramban is addressing in that piece. So I can't answer the question. But there were great people that actually argued about it. It's something that's way over our heads. And very, very difficult thing. I think when you live in a world like the Rambam and the Ramban did, where they felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence more acutely than we do, this became a real debate. And for us, it's a question of translating something. Now here he brings a good mashal. It says, "Hashenemar al oyer ba'beikar u'be'erev."
What does this mean?
No, Kuzrei says that the word Shechina is like the word Malach. It doesn't mean Hashem himself. That's what he says.
He holds like the Rambam.
Not like the Rambam. Vashenoimar al ha'or ba'beikar u'be'erev u'b'yayim ha'mu'unan. Like when you have light on a cloudy day, or before sunrise in the morning, or if the sunset in the evening, ki ha'or nitzus min ha'shemesh. We say the light comes from the sun. Afa pishi nisteres, even though you can't see the sun. The sun is below the horizon. The sun is behind cloud, very cloudy day. And it's light. Your sun asks you, where's the light coming from? You say, the sun. Where's the sun? The sun is nistar, it's hidden. The light and the rays come from the sun itself. And really, this is, I'll tell you what he says. Really, it doesn't come directly from the sun. It comes from the reflection. Things that shine as a result of them. There's a science lesson here in Deitzer Nechmad. He explains that the atmosphere reflects the sun's rays. When the sun is below the horizon and you see light, it's not the rays of the rays of the sun. The rays of the sun are shining against the light of the atmosphere, and that's reflecting back on the earth, which is accurate. If there was no atmosphere, then there would be no sunlight until the sun came over the horizon. Even then you need it. But anyway, so that's what he's saying. He's saying is, just like the sun reflects against the atmosphere and gives you light, so to Kaviyachal, when God is Nistar, there are reflections of his light, which he calls Shechina, Malachim, Ishecheles, Av, Arafel, etc. Now, it's true, but we want to give a physical mashal. You're right; it doesn't match. We just need to give a physical mashal for what he intended.
But even with that mashal, how do you say, you know, it's not Hashem himself, but it's a manifestation? You can't have a physical manifestation of something.
So this comes back to the question of tzimtzum, which requires its own study. There's an idea of tzimtzum that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol creates either a reality or an illusion of reality, that there's a place where he's not present. That's what tzimtzum means. And the discussion of tzimtzum, it's a big discussion, and it's a great source of dispute. I don't understand tzimtzum. The what? That the Shechinah came down upon the earth. When it says the Shechinah came to the Beis Hamikdash, it means that the presence of Hashem was felt. I mentioned once, I don't remember which setting, that we had it probably in Brachas, that in the Beis Hamikdash they didn't say Amen. When you heard God's name, you said Baruch Shem Kavai Machusai Lailam Voed. So the explanation of it is that Amen means I believe, I have faith, I have emunah. When you're outside of the Beis Hamikdash, you say I have faith. When you're in the Beis Hamikdash, you sense the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a certain sense of a feeling of Ribbono Shel Olam. It's more than faith. Saying it's faith is inadequate. There's a sense of Kavod Malchusai. Your neshama feels it.
That's the popular belief of what the Shechina.
Right, exactly. Right, so that's what it means that the Shechina came down. Okay. Alright, so much for this is sort of the PS to the whole discussion till now. And it's interesting that he has the Kuzari say it, and Eches, the Chavar agrees. Amar Chavar, Cain, you got it right. HaKavah Nitzutz Or Elokai Moyel Eitzel Amay Uba'artzai. Hashem's presence reflects back upon his people and his land. Now, this mention of Artzai serves for a digression here, which really the whole book is digression from topic to topic about Eretz Yisrael. He talks here, as you know, the author of the Kuzari was a tremendous Ohev Eretz Yisrael. He wrote many poems about Eretz Yisrael. Tziyan Halayit Shali B'Shleim Asirayach was written by him. And he was a tremendous lover of Eretz Yisrael. And here, where the Chavar makes the statement that God's presence reflects back down to his people and to his land, the king jumps on it. He says, what are you talking about his land? His land? Amar HaKuzari, Mamorcha Itzel Amoy Kivaris Bayerli. You say that Kaddish Baruch, whose presence is felt by Klal Yisrael, that I understand. Avo Ma'amorcha, this is what you're saying, Uba Artzai, Kashla Kabloi, I don't understand. Is Hashem's presence more felt in Eretz Yisrael than outside of Eretz Yisrael? Omer Achavar, to that the Rechavar responds, I see it. You shouldn't be surprised that one land is more miyuchad, is more individualized to being a land where Hashem's presence is felt. You see some lands where things grow, other places things don't grow. Umoitza mibaladei moitza in some places which give forth produce and others don't. Vaya v'chaya mibaladei chaya, a land that gives forth life and others that don't. Umisyachtim yoshvin bitzurais umidais mibaladei zulason. And there are individual places that have the different personality, different mitzias than others. And only by combinations is there any type of shleimus. So he's saying to him, there are lands that are different than other lands. And that's true physically. What about the Or Hashem? Omar HaKuzari said, the Kuzari is not buying any of this. And then he shemeya am hashaychnim beretz Yisrael, Yisrael al shara and she'aylam. He says, I don't see it. I don't see the people living in the land of Israel, at least over the year 700 or 800. He says, I don't see the people living in the land of Israel any better than those living in the rest of the world. What are you talking about? That Eretz Yisrael has some special receptors for recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omer HaChavras, not a Chavras stuck. He's got to defend his statement that there's something special about Eretz Yisrael. How do you defend it? They have to realize this is different. What we understand about Eretz Yisrael is that Klal Yisrael has a special relationship to Eretz Yisrael. That every nation has its own place, and Klal Yisrael's place is Eretz Yisrael. Part of the, no, he's saying something else. He's saying that God has a special relationship to Eretz Yisrael. And that's the Chiddush.
Because
it's God's relationship to Eretz Yisrael. Even there are no Jews there. What?
He
does. Who's he? God. Yeah, he does. Okay, I'm all for it. That's right, 10 levels of Kedusha. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, you go from place to place. At different levels of Kedusha. But this is what he is saying. I once heard a shir from Rav Yashaber Soloveitchik. He was before pre-Pesach shir. And he spoke about the four kaisis against the four lashaynes. And the fifth is Behevesi. We're not sure if we should have a fifth kais. We call it kais Shaliyo. So he said, I'm going to say something that you're not going to like. He told the audience. I don't know who you're speaking to. I heard this on the tape. I mean, something you're not going to like. But this is my chakira for the evening. And this is the way he put it in his poetic style. He said, the reason we're not sure if the fifth cup, Vevesi, is a cup of geula, is because we're not sure if Eretz Yisrael is the destiny of the Jews or the destination of the Jews. If it's a place where they have to go somewhere, this is where they were going. Or if it's the destiny of Klal Yisrael, it's intrinsically a part of geula. And that was his discussion. About whether it's intrinsically part of Geula or not. I think Klal Yisrael voted. Klal Yisrael voted that it is.
If we learn here that it's,
I think Klal Yisrael voted like you.
What?
Klal Yisrael votes with you. There's people who already voted. We spent 2,000 years davening towards Eretz Yisrael, but people who didn't see it and didn't know it and believed it like, you know, like, oh, it was only Amunah. We don't picture it. You don't realize that even 300 years ago, when parents told children, there's this place called Eretz Yisrael, and there's a place called Yerushalayim, it was blind faith. How would they know if it's true? It's not true. They couldn't Google it and check it out. It was totally blind faith. And Klal Yisrael voted the way you're saying. And it's true. And that's really what the Kuzari is saying, that it's inherently special to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether Jews are there or not. Now, how do you answer this question? The Kuzari asks, I didn't hear that the people in Israel are any better than anybody else. What do you say to that? So let's see how he answers.
What was Hashem's relationship to Eretz Israel when it was Eretz Canaan and before he made a bris? Israel was Eretz Israel. What was his relationship?
The first Rashi in Chumash tells us we shouldn't think that Eretz Yisrael became special at a certain point in world history. It was that way from the very beginning. That's what the Rashi says. To whom am I going to say, what are you taking Eretz Yisrael? So we tell them that was God's plan from the very beginning. At the very beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, put caretakers there to live there, but ultimately we're going to come there. Now that, having said that, the question is, what's unique about Canaan? We know there are a lot of negative things said about Canaan. So again, that's its own discussion. There's an idea that the name Canaan It's interesting. The word Kenan is found in Shas, used to mean a salesman. Salesman who goes from town to town. The word Kenan in Hebrew is related to a lashon of hachnoah. That's what a salesman has to do. You know, he's got to be machni himself. What? Chagar nosno laknani. Very good. Very good. So Kenan is a lashon of being machni oneself. And somehow the land of Eretz Yisrael bred that even in the Kenanim. The Klai Yisrael comes in, it depends what you mechni yourself to. So we are mechni ourselves to Ratzon Hashem. It's a different story. The Kenanim use the Mida and the Derech HaTumah. It's an old rule that something great, if you want it, we had once in Talmud Devarah an expression, if you want to see how great something can be on the Tzara Kedusha, you have to see how negative it could be on the Tzara Tumah. The more Tameh it could be on one side, the more Kaddish. She talked there specifically about Taivas Noshim, about the Taiva for a male-female relationship, then the Tzara Tumah it destroys families and destroys people. And Tzara Kedusha, so you understand the Kedusha of it because you see the Tzara Tumah of it. So I think it was in the Talmud Devarah we had that expression that you want to see how great something is, look how tame it could be.
Isn't that what happened with the Avodah Zarah? When the Avodah Zarah was so strong, the Ruach HaKodesh was so strong too. The Nevuah was strong.
It's true.
When we lost the Avodah Zarah, we lost the Ruach HaKodesh to the Nevuah.
And the same thing in Eretz Yisrael, the Kayach HaHachnoah that the Kenanim had to the Tzara Tumah shows the Kayach HaChnoah of Eretz Yisrael, which subsequently Klal Yisrael is hopefully going to use to the right, in the right direction.
And also
the land
spelt.
Spelled that, not expelled them, that's right.
Not because of our greatness then.
Yeah.
Was the Kedusha?
Yeah, that's the expression. The level of Kedusha never left. Let's see how the Chavar responds to the accusation that he doesn't see there's anybody better in Eretz Yisrael than anywhere else. Amar HaChavar. Kain HaKerem Zeh Shatamayim Shematzliach by HaKerem. He's going with the analogy he gave earlier. He says you have land which is good for planting vines. And you say if I plant a vine it'll be Matzliach. If you don't plant the vines there, then it's not going to grow grapes. And the first mile of Eretz Yisrael is to the people that are segula v'leiv, as was mentioned. And the land is a fertile land to help that along, if in the land of Israel, there are actions and Torah, which is dependent on it, which are like the working of the vineyard. Really, this is a very strong solution, he says, you can't get to a complete relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without Eretz Yisrael. Just like you can't be Matzliach in a Kerem without the right land, no matter how much you plant, no matter how much you fertilize. So the Chavar is saying that it can't happen. And the Kuzar is not happy with it. Omer HaKuzari, Echuzah, what are you talking about? You're saying that you can't really have a full relationship with Hashem only in Eretz Yisrael? From Adam till Moshe, there was Nevuah in another land. Avraham in Orkazdim, Vakech Yecheskel v'Daniel b'Bavel, for Yirmiyah b'Mitzrayim. So there was Nevuah in other lands. And this is something Rishonim discuss. And we'll get back to it on Thursday, this point. Agav, there is a very strong point here. He calls Daniel a Navi. He refers to Daniel as a Navi. Now this is a problematic point, because, please leave me alone. And in the Gemara in Megillah, the Gemara says Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Daniel says they were greater than him, and he was greater than them. They were greater than him that they were Nevi'im, and Daniel was not a Navi. And he was greater than them that Daniel had a certain perception that they didn't have. But the Gemara says Daniel was not a Navi, and he says here Daniel was a Navi.
He said that he later on became a Navi.
So what I always tell you is that Daniel later became a Navi, which I think is Rashi Shita. Rashi counts Daniel among the 48 Naviim. In the Eitzer Nech, but on the bottom, he offers a different teretz. He says that the Gemara says there were 48 Naviim that said Nevuah that was needed L'dairis. There were hundreds of thousands, over a million, that had Nevuah just because they were great, but they didn't say something be taught for generations. He says Daniel was the second, the lower level Navi, and not the higher level Navi. That's his answer. But Rashi holds like me, because Rashi counts Daniel among the 48. Rashi counts Daniel among the Memches Neviim. So Rashi seems to hold that he became a Navi later, and I'm very impressed that you remember. That's good. Alright, so tomorrow, not tomorrow, Thursday, we pick up on the defense of Eretz Yisrael.